In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. A very good morning to all of you. It is indeed a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you this morning. I bring you greetings from the Church of St. Paul's in the village of Flatbush in Brooklyn, New York. Indeed, when I think of here and I think of where I am in Flatbush, it is good to get away from the hustle and bustle. But I can't tell you that I am ready to give up the hustle and bustle. But coming here, no doubt, will give me that time to reflect so that I go back. I am able to carry on. And no doubt, leaving the hustle and the bustling and coming here is also going to give me the opportunity to reflect and to share with you God's word. Without God's word, we are nothing. So on this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, or the eighth Sunday after Trinity, depending on where in the Anglican Communion you are, Jesus continues to groom or to coach us on kingdom living and to know where and what is our true treasure. Out of God's amazing grace and love for each of us, God has indeed given us the key to the true treasure. George was digging in his beautiful flower garden when suddenly he unearthed a very large key. The kind of key that might open a gate into a palace. George continued to dig deeper in hope that there was a treasure chest buried with it. But he came up with nothing. He spent many days and years thinking about the doors and locks that key could open. And in his mind, George always envisioned lots of treasure behind those doors and locks. When George died, his son came to clean out the house, along with many of his other possessions. The key ended up in the recycling bin. Soon after, the manager of the recycling plant was drawn to this bright, glittery object. It was a dirty grayish color, but rubbing against the other pieces of rubbish had removed some of its paint. The manager then took it and carefully began to scrape off the remainder of the paint to reveal a big key made of solid gold. Our God and Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom, says Jesus. But if the greatest man to walk the earth, in Jesus' estimation, John the Baptist, that is, would be the least in the kingdom, what chance do we have even to understand or to comprehend what the kingdom of God is? What an interesting question for us to ponder, my fellow Christian sisters and brothers. In reality, though, nothing that Jesus says in the gospel to describe the kingdom of God suggests that it is too complex for us to understand, or too exotic or obscure for humans to experience. On the contrary, Jesus uses everything that is commonplace in first century Israel to conjure up images of the kingdom of God, from the fruits of the land and sea, to the behavior of ordinary farmers, fishermen, businessmen, judges, widows, prostitutes, beggars, and so on. All ordinary folk. But in Jesus' parables, he uses them to highlight how we can discover gateways to a different order of life, a different order of living, the kingdom of God, our true treasure. Jesus demonstrates that because the kingdom of God is of a different order, we can glimpse it in a far greater detail and clarity than the human eye can reason or imagine. For unlike matter, spirit is indivisible. The whole is contained in the part. The macro is visible in the micro. That's how we can see Mary's boy, God's son. How we can glimpse eternity in a moment of self-sacrificial love. How we can taste and see heaven in a piece of bread and in a sip of wine. Glimpsing the whole in the part is how our heart can be strangely warmed by an encounter with the other. That occurs through a piece of music, a verse of scripture, or a mother's smile. It only needs the hymn to be caught in the door for us to see the whole seamless robe. My sisters and brothers in Christ, our gospel passage for today tells us how we can maximize these occasions when we answer the knock on the door of our soul and Christ ushers in us a breath of the kingdom of God. Today I ask you, will you respond to that knock? And in responding to that knock, will you allow Christ Jesus a permanent dwelling place there? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with us. That's a promise we have from God, God's Son, Jesus Christ. The trouble, however, is that we are so busy. We are so busy amassing the treasures, that clever exploitation of the material world and sometimes of other people that allow us to create that we cannot be bothered to answering that knocking. No matter how much we might aspire to the wholeness of the kingdom of God, we are fragmented by the countless distractions. So come in here on a personal note. Come in here, believe it or not, helps me to get away from the busyness, from the distractions, and help me once more to focus on the things that are of God. You have a treasure. I encourage you to use it. This morning I got up and I looked out and I could see the water moving. And in watching that, it sort of transferred to me. Do you get that experience as you move around here? And then listening to the birds, listening to the insects, They all have a purpose, reminding us there is still yet something more important than the busyness that we find ourselves caught up in. Indeed, it is tragic beyond measure that we possess this eternal treasure, and yet we exchange it for a mess of transitory pottage. And all the time, we are worried that we might lose our earthly treasure, that we won't be able to afford the next payments, or that our neighbors might have bought an even better model than we. Beloved in Christ, the answer to the worrying, says Jesus, is simple. Give away our wealth and possessions, and we won't need worry about losing them, for worry fragments us. Worry distracts us. Worry, according to Jesus, is a distraction from recognizing the kingdom which God has given each of us. We have the kingdom, but to recognize its wholeness in the partial, we need to behold ourselves. We need to be in sync with the kingdom's wholeness, and we cannot do it if we are fragmented human beings. Accordingly, Jesus says we must wait, because waiting on God is indeed a holy act. It is a holy action, a way of restoring wholeness. It is the height of living in hope and faith, and yet it is the most spiritually active thing we can do. Proper waiting is about being ready, about being fit for purpose, for action. Like servants waiting for their master to return, people you see who wait for a person or an event, they know is coming, always know where they are and who they are. And believe it or not, they have faith and hope in results. Yes, for they that wait on the Lord shall have renewed strength. They shall rise up as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God can involve nothing more than resting and being still. We can also learn more about this thing called the kingdom of God that we are waiting for by reading the Gospels and reading the writings of the saints, and yes, by prayer and meditation. You see, the resources are there. They are ours. Let us use them. And in using them, let us use them wisely. Jesus has just spoken about anxiousness. I was a bit anxious as I started this service. It's a little different. And I did make some mistakes. But so often, it's not about being perfect, but about being intentional. And in being intentional, allowing God to work in us and through us. So Jesus has just spoken about anxiousness regarding life. Worry not about food. Worry not about drink or clothing or shelter. Do not be afraid, Jesus admonishes, for it is your Father God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The key and our true treasure. And so, my beloved in Christ, let us set our minds and our hearts on that future with our Lord God and consider it our ultimate concern, simply to be with God. Amen.